Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogan, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm talking to Thibaut Ruffin, who is managing the Commercial Makov team together with his brother. In this episode, we talk about his job as a manager and why the team will stay 100% French for the next couple of years. Hey Thibaut, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hey Toby, it's a pleasure to be part of it. Not really used to that, but I'm going to do my best. I'm in Quebec, Canada. It's snowing currently, it's cold, and winter.
I mean, you are French. Why are you moving to Canada to such a cold country?
Simple reason, Quebec girls. Huh? I met my girlfriend racing in Mont-Saint-Anne in 2014, and she made me move over. So, here I am living in Quebec, just bought a house a few months ago actually, and enjoying life over there. It's pretty cool. It changed a lot from French Alps, but amazing riding in the summer. Obviously, less easy in the winter, but still pretty cool stuff to do.
Okay, that means you're most of the year in Quebec, or do you spend the summer in Europe and then move to Canada just over the winter?
No, it's pretty much 50-50, I would say, because of in normal times. First of all, like when there's no COVID and just normal life. It would be around like 50% of the time, 50% like in Europe and 50% in Quebec. Mm-hmm. Team comps, races, just takes a lot of time, obviously. Mm-hmm. And just obviously a lot of travel and a pretty bad carbon footprint on my own. But just try to do my best to stay like good on this point, but it's not always easy, you know.
So that means you're not traveling too much in winter time and try to stay more or less on one place and moving around the whole rest of the
year. I'm trying, obviously, like winter we still have these team comps going on, but you know, like for example this week the guys are in Italy in Sao Paulo for like a short camp over 4 days, and I didn't take part of this one because going to Europe for 4 days doesn't really make sense. So that I'm just trying to go for the main ones and making the most of them.
Okay, so together with your brother, you're managing one of the most successful teams in Donald World Cup, the Commercial Makov team. How did it come to this?
That's a good question. I would say we've been lucky to have to work with the right person at the right time, and things just fall click together like when it needed to click together, and it just started as we always been, like my brother and I, in a racing life. Before racing bikes, we were racing alpine ski at a pretty high level. And obviously I'm 7 years older than him, so I turned to mountain bike earlier than him and starting racing World Cups and stuff. And then he switched also from ski to bike World Cup. Mm-hmm. And I think just being in that race atmosphere forever just somehow help us to better understand what racing is, and maybe setting up something, right for the riders, where riders can feel well to perform, and just having this in the right environment, probably brought that success, I would say, it's always been like a family team at the beginning. because our parents have always been very involved in our sports, I would say. Mm-hmm. And you know, they take the other riders are the kids as well, and they give, like, my parents are still coming to the race and helping the team out to, okay. You know, my mom is cooking, my dad drives the truck and do all the little things around to help. And yeah, you know, they just, we just do our best to have everyone happy and in the best condition to perform.
Yeah.
But and, obviously, yeah.
Was it always your plan to do a World Cup team after your professional career, or how did it come?
No, again, I was like far for, when I started Riding Addiction, which is the name of the company right now, mm-hmm. Who runs the Commensal team. The idea, first of all, was just to do a team for myself. At the beginning was back in 2006, when I started it, the idea was to do my own team for myself, to go race World Cup with the sponsors I wanted to work with and try to do a good job representing them. Obviously, I never had the level to be like a World Cup contender, podium contender or, mm-hmm. or something. Just, you know, I've been around top 20 for most of my career, but never better than that, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it just started slowly and a few opportunities when Miriam Nicole's previous team, which was the giant French team, mm-hmm. Stopped, and she found herself without a team at the end of 2009. I just suggested her to join me in the team, and it was basically the start of the next chapter, because I think the next year she was on every World Cup podium in the women, and the following year she won our first World Cup and the first World Cup for the team, obviously.
Yeah.
And yeah, from that things just went bigger and bigger. So my brother started to race as well when Miriam arrived in the team. So we were from one rider to three riders. 2 years later, Rémi Thirion joined us. And that following year, he won Van Noor World Cup, yeah. In 2013. So from that, it really came from the next level, I would say, and everything became more professional. And yeah, here we are, like,
yeah, it's, you know, pretty cool to see that from a more or less private team to one of the most professional, most successful teams in the business. It's really cool to see. And these days, I mean, you're not only one of the two managers of the team, you're also still competing in some World Cups, right?
yeah, I'm still trying to compete.
But how do you manage that in terms of time? I mean, manager is a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure. And it becomes more and more, like, over the years. Obviously, the team gets bigger and bigger, so it's more and more work. And obviously, doing all the work with my brother helps a lot to be able to race again. Mm-hmm. Also, we have like a super staff around us, like everything working. Everybody works super hard and do a really good job, which helps us to be able to still be on the bike. Mm-hmm. And I think it just we want and we still race because since the very beginning we love what we do, we love the sport and we love racing, and that's also what helped us to build this team and get where we are. I think we're just passionate about the sport and we want the best, and you know, since we started to win, somehow we just want to keep winning as bad as we can, you know. So yeah, just it's a correct split of time, and you know, racing helps us also to understand more what riders' feedback are.
Yeah,
and it still helps us to better understand the sport and how it evolves every year, I would say.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's understandable. So, what exactly is your job as a team manager?
on my side, I'm more doing like all the sponsor things, negotiating deals and every sponsor relationships, as well as product development. So with the sponsors, in relation with the team technicians and engineers. So it's mainly this, as well as managing the riders at the camps, at the races, and pretty much in the everyday life. And my brother on this side do more like logistics, just setting up everything to make the World Cup run, like the season run smoothly.
So that means your job is a lot before the season and between the races, but what do we have to do on the race weekend?
Race weekend, like you said, most of the like the big part of the job is pretty much from November to when the World Cup starts. Actually, when the World Cup starts, everything is pretty much done, and you just have to get the ball rolling. At the race weekend, we just don't want to change too much of our habits. I mean, when we are at the races, we just let it flow and we don't want to bother too much the riders with goals or just crazy briefing on what they have to do on the weekend. Because since we're working all together for a while, we know what we want. We know what we have to do. And there's never like a kind of motivation problem. That we know that everybody is here to win and do the best for it. So that's pretty much it. You know, I wouldn't say we're like easy at the weekend at the race weekends, because it's always like work and stress. But
if you have your job done right in the off season and before and after the race, you have quite a chilled weekend.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, like I would say there's never like a big problems happening, like organization problem happening at the races.
So
let's touch wood. We never know about it. Yeah.
So if we see you at the races, the whole team looks super familiar, and also away from the races you do a lot of stuff together. How do you put the whole team together away from the racers? I mean, all the staff, the mechanics, and all these people. How do you get these people?
I think just so over the past we've tried to have like foreigners, foreign riders in the team. We have Kiwis with Cam Cole and George Brannigal, which was great experiences, because they were both super guys, and we had a lot of fun with them. But over the years and the experiences we had, we felt that it was going to be a lot simpler to work with French speaking people, you know. Just that point, because even when we had Cam and George, still 90% of the team was French, and even if we were doing our best to speak as much as possible English with them, and it was working, because it was we all speak pretty well English, and it was okay. But there were still some odd moments when you joke between French people, you just go naturally French, and sometimes we're just feeling weird. And from that point, we were just like, okay, let's try to build something with the most talented French riders, or at least French-speaking riders, and get around that. And I think it's somehow hard to say for the foreigners that would want to join that team, but I think it makes our force, because obviously going French means that we know each other outside of the races, and just these profiles that we have, we work with them for a long time, and we try to build long-time relationships. And we were friends before that they were in the team. And it just like just made things even stronger to have them in the team and live all these like amazing moments we can have at the race. You know, when success comes, it's just like crazy to live all of this together. And yeah, not only with the riders, but just the staff, mechanics, like all the people involved. It just makes us even closer than we were when we started it all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty cool.
And, I would say that's not the secret because it's nothing crazy, but yeah.
But yeah.
That's just how it is, you know?
I mean, when everyone speaks the same language and have more or less the same mentality, I think that helps a lot, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just the cultural point of view also, you know, we are French, we all things the same. We are the same. And it's maybe a bit, how would I say, strict or straight to say this way to think this way, but that's somehow how it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just understand each other. And I mean, maybe just the other riders from other countries says, what does these French guys have to win all these races and all this? I mean, I think we all that killer mentality when it comes to racing, that we want to win so bad that we want to do everything we can to make it happen. And it's maybe a French thing as well, I don't know, but at least it works pretty well so far. So
but for,
yeah, we try to keep it this way.
But for Commercial, a brand who sells the bikes worldwide, wouldn't it be better to have a team with riders from different parts of the world than just French riders? Or do you have any plans to add more international riders to your team? Or is really the idea to stay as French as possible?
No, so far, we have actually re-signed the current roster for the next 3 years. So I don't see any big change coming soon. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Commensal have there's this race DNA, and they have like quite a few teams racing at the World Cup, and amongst them there are a few like Frenius riders, and I think it helps them to be more like internationals in some way, and just having some headquarters like a bit everywhere in the world just help to build the brand like more globally. Mm-hmm. And and it's a discussion we had with Max also back in the days, and we were like, okay, going international is good, can be good with the riders, but winning races just it's even better, you know. Even if we are all French, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. So that's cool. So you're not a factory team like some of the others. You're a private owned team with a lot of good support from the sponsors. But what is the difference between a factory racing team and a private owned team?
Yeah, I think just the credit card of the company, I would say. No, I think it's we have always worked as a private company and not a factory team, so I couldn't really say what it is to be like a factory team because I've never been. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably missing something about that, but I would say just the name and like I said, the credit card that changes, because obviously we're super close from Commensal, and we work as we would be the factory team. You know, the support we have from the brand is huge and pretty much limitless, and yeah, it's nothing bad to work as we work right now, and it's also leave us choose the brands we want to work with, the partners, and pick the brands that we feel have the same value and the same approach as we have, and it's a good way for us. I think it's the way that works for us, and
so that means you have a little bit more, you can decide by your own what you, how do you want to build the bikes, or how do you want to build the team and work with them?
That yeah, is, absolutely. Obviously, it's always a discussion that we have with Commensal, since they have the they are the main partner, and their part in the team is pretty big. Mm-hmm. We have to keep in mind that we need and should work with brand that they are working with as well, and try to facilitate the business relationship with them and these brands. But again, we are above all, we're looking at performance and working with the brands that that want to go further with us, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. So looking on your team, you're rarely buy good riders or hire good riders, but you have a lot of riders who become really good in your team. So Thibaut Taprella, for example, who's one of the biggest talents in the sport now, but as I know, he started a little bit early in your team when he was not on the very top. How does it come that they grow in your team to some of the best athletes in the world?
That's a good question, to be honest. No, I think all these guys, all the riders, have that raw talent that you can't make and you can't produce if it's not there, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, just the support we can offer and again, the involvement and knowledge of the mechanics, the engineer, and what my brother and myself can bring them in terms of racing knowledge and experiences we had, because obviously we are older and more mature kind of racing wise, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just like, again, a combination of everything, we try to bring our best to them, and bringing them in the best environment to perform. It's always the same story. And but again, it's these guys that are on the bike and in the start gate and on the track until the finish line, and they are talented, yeah. For sure, and above all, and yeah.
But I mean, all the time you're able to find riders who have this talent. How do you scout these riders? Is it why you're still racing and you have a different view on the rider, that you see something in the riders and you think, okay, that he could be one of the top guys in 1 or 2 years because he already had this talent, but when he learns a little bit, how does it work that you get these riders?
In France, it's quite I would say quite easy, because we have a good race circuit, like the French national circuit is pretty I would say packed up, and we have quite a few riders, and you know, with the top guys taking part of these races as well on most of them. And it's good to see when you have the youngest riders racing against the top guys, to see where they are. Mm-hmm. Comparing to them with time and just riding style also, and it gives us like quite a good idea on who can be the next. Also, there's that I don't know that that riders production in the south of France, which is pretty pretty interesting. You know, there's that club who's been run by Loïc Bruni's father, Jean Pierre. Was called US Kine. It's the name of the club, and you know, there is Loïc, Loris Vergier, Thibaut Daprella, our new rider, Hugo Marini, was going to run in junior this year. Mm-hmm. Comes from that same club, and I mean, they just put a lot of effort bringing that kid to the top level before they are picked by a team. And they just have all these talents from that part of the south of France. Like, even before Loïc and Loïs, there was Vuillos, there was Fabien Barrel, these stars of the sport that these kids grew up watching at just was really, I think, helpful for them, and was a good they have good role models to follow, I would say.
Yeah, we always joked around and said there's something in the water in this particular region, because so many good riders are from there. Yeah,
that's yeah, you have this this bubble, or you have that one and the Pierrot family bubble. You have two bubble in France, because the Pierrot brothers are actually like quite interesting. Like all three are like crazy fast on the bike.
Yeah,
because Amaury is fast, obviously, but his brother Baptiste is not bad at all either, and the little brother Antoine is pretty good too. So, I mean, like, I would say all these three could be in, like, I wouldn't say if not on a World Cup podium on Sunday, but at least in the top 10 on the same race day.
Yeah.
What would happen at some point?
That's a good family effort, huh? So it's a good goal.
Maybe not a water problem.
So how is it to work with riders like Amaury, who's really on the top level? Because such riders need, of course, a lot of support to really find out these little things, and on this level, just the really little things makes a huge difference. Did you have to change anything in your teams with the riders getting better and better?
Not really. We just obviously we're all learning along the way, because you know, yeah, we all started small and we get bigger, so every day is a new day and we learn from it. So we try to adapt and get better. Like, even if we are at the top, we just try to improve everything. Just the same, like we try to improve products, obviously, but we try to improve the way we work every day. So yeah, and working with these guys, just obviously on the technical side, is great, because they have a feeling on the bike which is kind of next level, and they feel almost like almost everything, and we can improve and work on every details during the off season and at the races. And it's good for the sport, because it just pushes it like further and to the next level. And we saw how much in the past few years it gets to another level again, you know.
I mean, downhill is becoming more and more professional, and at the races the smallest things makes a huge difference. Especially suspension testing and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going into a race run, and specialized for example, they testing a lot on the racetracks and having these crazy machines on their bikes. What are you doing to keep up with them or be even faster than them?
I mean, it's just a kind of way you approach things. I know that, you know, specialized, and especially Loic does a lot of data acquisition at the races. I think it's also a way that kind of routine. Loic knows that his bike is perfectly set up when he knows that Jack, his mechanic, has access to the data and set it up perfectly from there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe a kind of way you approach things. On our side, it's a bit different. I know I would say at most of the World Cup, we use that acquisition system, but probably less than Loic. Mm-hmm. We use it for like a couple runs to get some feedback from the track, from the machine. But we try to also get, so we try, we get a really good feedback from the riders, and we prefer to go this way, and we feel it just like as good as using, as be too much on the data acquisition, you know. It just, for us, the best way is to find the right balance between these two, again, we doesn't mean you, if you're not using data acquisition, doesn't mean you won't have the best setting, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you can find the right point.
I mean, on the end, it's a rider who has to ride the bike as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And not the machine. So, but what makes a good rider in your eyes, apart from riding your bike fast down the mountain?
Oh, it's. I would say. Technically, they must, like, I would say the top riders, they are all pretty much the same. I would say there's like 50-50% technique, and yeah, like the rest is mental. Mm-hmm. it's just how far you feel you can push on the race run, and just also physically, they are all the same right now. I mean, the top 20 or even more, they have the same physical capacities. Obviously, some have better qualities than others, but it's all very close, I would say. And what really differs, it's obviously their skills to push further in a race run and to play with that limit and stay on it as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. Has it become easier over the years to run a team because sponsors see the impact of the teams and everything that comes with the team? Or has it become more difficult because you need a lot more money to keep the team running and be on the top of the game?
Obviously all of these factors come to play, you know. It somehow become more easier because we had good results, so it's easier to get better sponsorships. But obviously we have good riders that win a lot of race, so we need to pay them a lot more, and just like everything is pushing up, and we have to follow. Obviously luckily I would say the bike industry is going pretty well, even if it's complicated with all the COVID situation and all this. But we're lucky to work with really understanding and really supportive brands, and that helps us to make it happen. Because without them, we wouldn't be there for sure. So no, I don't say it's more complicated. For sure, it's a lot of work, a lot of discussion, and a lot of commitment. Because we're not only taking money and win race, we also help these brands to go further with the products, because I think we have a good knowledge to share, and it's also super interesting to work this way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and get close to these people, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. What are your goals with the team for the next years?
Winning, yeah. Always the same. No, I'm. We're like kind of a psychopath with it, but you know, we won men's overall 2-3 years ago. Miriam has been world champion and won the overall in 2017. Missed it for nothing, and like a dramatical end of the season along with Thibaut last year. So obviously we want to make it up and be as good as possible and as performant as possible. And you know, the ultimate goal and dream would be to win it all, you know. It's the more years are going by, the more it's gonna be difficult, because the level is insane, and like there's a lot of good riders, and even in the men than in the women, it's crazy, you know. So we're working hard and we want this, you know. So we're doing our best, but we know it's never going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder for you that you know a couple of years ago we showed up at the races and then we had a really good result, or we're winning, and that's a surprise, and now these days you show up at the races and everyone expect you to win? Is it harder for you mentally as a manager?
I wouldn't say it tires me, but it's somewhat just like a expectation that I put on myself, and I think we all put on ourselves in the team that we already won and we want to win again. I think we don't really care about, obviously, the sponsors who are on the back wants us to win, but we don't feel that pressure, you know. They don't mm-hmm. put that pressure on us, and it's just like a pressure that like the team staff, we put on ourselves to perform as good as possible, that the riders put on themselves to perform as well as possible, you know. People don't really ask us to be there,
yeah,
or at least not directly, but we want to, you know.
Yeah, that's I think that's the best thing you can do, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
When the motivation comes from,
and I think all these guys, all these sponsors know that they don't have to come to us and say, "Hey, you need to win that race." We know that, and we know that we are here for that, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, thanks a lot for your time, and it was super interesting to talk to you. And
yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, maybe we talk again when this season is kicking off and you have the first results already. And
absolutely, whenever.
So thanks a lot for your time, and talk soon. Bye bye.
Thank you, Toby. Yeah, thanks. Bye.